Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Welcome to Webcology on WMR.fm. It's the 16th of May, 2024. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. And sending some love to Audience Key, who's our sponsor. Before we jump, this is a dicey show today. It's an incredibly heady set of topics to cover because it's not often you schedule your podcast at the end of a week in which the universe changes. And this was a week in which many of our universes, if they didn't change, certainly shifted precipitously. We have sitting in the green room, the guy who runs Bing Search. We have Fabrice Canal, who's sitting in the green room, and we have to talk about OpenAI and Google I/O announcements before he comes on. So that's dicey tightrope walk number one. Dicey tightrope walk number two is what happened on Monday and Tuesday. I mean, we know what happened. We were there. We all watched the press conferences. We watched Google I/O minute by minute and listened to every announcement and took notes as vigorously as the next. But it was so encompassing. And I mean, let's face it, this is a Google product, so it might continue as we see it today, or it might change radically 6 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, a year and a half from now, after we've all invested a whole bunch of time, money, energy, and blood, sweat, and tears into it. Who knows? Christine, why don't we start with OpenAI's announcements on Monday. What did you think, first off?
I think the marketing department did a good job, like making it seem like there's a whole bunch of new advancements, but when you read the academics and researchers at AI, they were kind of nonplussed. So
it seemed to be like an announcement that said, stay tuned, we have really cool stuff coming this summer. I mean, so cool that it's really, really cool. And now you can talk to us using dramatic voices.
Yeah, so it's got, so people don't know, it has a multimodal design, which just means it takes different kinds of input or does different kind of export, like video and images and voice and text. It did that. You could talk to the thing, I guess. I don't know.
It understands your inflections. I mean, that's really neat. That's actually really cool.
But that's an issue for EU law. So I don't know what they're going to do when they hit the EU, because you're not allowed to do that. And I do have some personal issues with generated text that can reflect human emotion. Also, there's also some analysis that shows that it is not capable of reading different cultural signals, or it's not capable of understanding like the neurodivergent kind of conversation. So it's kind of a one note, trained on like only one set of type of emotional response.
As always, it'll be really interesting to see how things evolve there. I mean, we see how people evolved into incredible nastiness with a misunderstanding of emojis in social media.
Yeah.
Imagine what's going to happen next day. Okay, so, but the big announcement from ChatGPT is 4.0 is kind of 4.0, and for GPT-5 is going to be the moon and the sun and bread and butter sliced on your table and amazing, as I understand it.
Someday.
Well, that's what they said. Okay, so Tuesday, the big 5,000-pound elephant at the side of the room. Google's Gemini announcements at Google I/O. Oh, what direction do we go here?
Well, just so people know, there are over 100 announcements at Google I/O because they're very broad, and you can go to Google I/O and they will list for you by category which ones you might be interested in. We're not covering 100 announcements. We're
No.
just covering what affects like search and the associated products that we use.
Here's a quick rundown. Google announced a series of sudden changes that are coming, some as soon as the moment they were unveiled on Tuesday at Tuesday's Google I/O conference held in Mountain View, California. Collected under an umbrella known as Gemini, these changes are more about using artificial intelligence to solidify Google's role as a lifestyle ecosystem provider for its billions of users than they are about search. Yesterday's announcement seemed to complete a fundamental change in the utilization of Google's original mission statement to organize the world's information to make it universally accessible and useful, in which Google is going to focus more on the useful parts than it is on the accessible bit. But you know what really went unnoticed?
What's that?
Google stopped trying to be a general search engine when it got a whiff of the greatest holy grail in its existence. Complete data personalization in what appears to becoming a closed garden environment. So Google ain't about the world's information as much as it is about your information in relation to the world's information.
Yeah. We have to be aware that the products that Google's creating were all created from training on other people's stuff. And those people did not know, they weren't getting permission, they were not compensated. So when they create the products that they're creating, it's hard to know. Like the whole everything they're basing it on to me is very quicksandy right now.
But it's a
Legal
little more than that.
challenges, personal challenges, privacy challenges, countries like the EU challenges. So it's a lot that they rolled out on something that feels quicksandy, but I could be wrong.
Those are certainly coming. And I think users, no matter where they are, whether they're in the EU, in the United States, in Canada, wherever, they need to understand. And then Google was really clear about this on stage. Like they were quite upfront. Your Android device, I got an Android phone, it goes everywhere I go. It runs naturally Chrome browser and a bunch of Android-y stuff. I do stuff on that phone. I do tons of searches. I verify client websites. All sorts of stuff that I want to do on a mobile device, I do on that mobile device, and it all gets recorded in one way or another against the entity that is me. Me. All about me. And there's so much data I'm giving with these two devices I'm using, the platform, the Android cell phone, and the system, the Chrome browser. Google's taking that information and merging it with my queries to get a sense of what I really want out of the world. And it said really quite clearly, that's how we're going to be constructing stuff we're going to be sending to you, referring you to in the future. So results are hyper personalized for people who are in the Googleverse system, which is remarkable and wonderful and extraordinarily cool, Star Trek-like and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, I kind of get a big ick factor out of that kind of personalization. I mean, I have personalization turned off in Google as it is. So I don't even have GPS turned on in Google. So, and I don't suffer for it at all, to be honest. Someone was arguing me academically at the conference that not having GPS on meant I was just missing all this stuff. And I was like, well, I pretty much get similar results as other people because they're just pinging off the towers they know I'm using. So they know where I am without knowing where I am. Like, you know, they know within like a mile or so. But no, I agree. I think that's what I do find that there's one deficit in this thinking, no matter how big they want to become the personalized everything, which is a whole different ecosystem. People still want to search. They still need information. They don't want it all handed to them, and they don't want it all based on themselves. So there's still room for that. And it feels like Google's leaving open a window for somebody to start taking some share, maybe.
Well, that's very possible. It's we've always said over and over and over again that the biggest threat Google faces anywhere, anytime, is Google itself and
Yeah.
losing track of its user base and what its needs are. So we'll see. That's actually probably an amazing segue into Fabrice. More than anybody, I think Fabrice, more than anybody except maybe a tiny select number of Google employees themselves, Fabrice understands what's been going on in many of these people's heads. And for people who don't know, Fabrice Cannell has worked with Microsoft for over 27 years, where he currently leads the big Bing team that is responsible for crawling, processing, and indexing. He also oversees Bing Webmaster Tools, search protocols and standards, and in the SEO world, Fabrice is the visible face of Bing at conferences and online. His work world encompasses everything from search engine technology to user experience and SEO. He's been a guest on Webcology in the past, and it is really cool to welcome him back today, of all days. Fabrice, welcome back to Webcology.
Hello, welcome back. Yes,
Oh,
I'm pleased to be back and thanks for this wonderful introduction.
I'm really
I don't know everything about Bing. It's kind of but yeah, this is, I know a lot being around for many, many years.
well, actually, that may be a great place to start the question. My first question was going to be really general. How are you today of all days? But you know what? An even better question. You are the head of search at Bing. If anybody knows what's going on at Bing, it's you. And
Well,
general question, this is really complicated, complex stuff, right? Do you know everything that's happening at Bing?
Bing is bigger than you think, and I just kind of looking at managing somehow a small part of Bing. This is all the part that is related to collecting the internet content. This is all the discovery of the best content on the internet, the selection, the crawling, the processing of data. Yes, this is kind of my area of what I'm looking at. And this encompasses also Webmaster Tools and SEO. So I'm here to help. And then there is many other teams involved in delivering quality results for our customer.
So, in the last 2.5 or 3 years, with the introduction of ChatGPT and now evolving into Copilot, how radically has your outlook on search and search usage changed?
Well, we are very pleased of this new set of technology that we have introduced. It's fundamentally, this is an evolution. It's an evolution. It's a new wave of technology. It's not fundamentally, this is, and there will be a new wave coming, and there will be a new wave coming. Every time we access new technology, new layer of intelligence, this is helping us to satisfy our customer even more. This is helping us to grow on customer satisfaction, translating to more customer using or satisfied by our services, and so coming back and using our services. We disclosed 2 weeks ago that Bing has surpassed 140 million daily active user, which is a great way of telling us that yeah, we kind of do a very good job. Translating to user growth, translating again to customer satisfaction.
Okay, now naturally, Bing wants to make its audience happy. You want to give the very best references you can, and you want those people coming back and trusting you over and over and over again. Webmasters themselves, who make information pages, many of them want the same sort of things, but they feel that the new generative AI world is locking them out of getting clicks, and I think this happens. Less to a lesser degree at Bing than it's than people perceive it's going to be happening at Google. And Bing, if webmasters need to know this, actually lets you know, gives you a lot more control over knowing where your clicks are coming from. But is that a rational or a reasonable perception that people who make sites that are mostly based on information rather than product or product purchase, are going to have clicks siphoned by generative results?
Excellent, excellent question. And this covers a broad area. So let me start to kind of simplify and tell a story. And I may be taking a little bit of time, and I will try to be as short as possible.
Oh, no, please, because pe people, this I think is an essential question webmasters are all asking. So please
Yes.
take us, please.
Okay. So the first thing is that clearly this is a new day for search. We introduce kind of this new thing, this new chat, and as you said, now this is Copilot in February 2023. And clearly this was a clear revolution in the industry to offer not only search, but also this kind of chat Copilot experience that offer a new way to access information. We went live and we learn a lot from this. So this is first is that it was really something that a lot of customers didn't really experience at all before. Yes, we were having this kind of experiences where on support sites, when you want to contact support something, you can have a chat experience to try to interact with a system before trying to finally speak to someone to order something or yes, support related. But clearly on search, it was not there. And people have to learn that because for years and years and years, they were really having this kind of 10 blue links or related that was a pure search experience, not a chat really experience related. And what we see is that people are first were surprised, were learn and discover really a big value of having not only search, but also this kind of interactive experience where you start doing a query and the chat understand your context and do and really refine the quality of results. And we see really people satisfy by this experience. And this has been a fantastic way to attract new user, to maintain user within the kind of Bing Copilot ecosystem. Search is still there to satisfy a query when kind of the customer know exactly what they want. In chat and Copilot, this is more, I sort of know what I want, but please help me, really help me because I don't know what is the best low carb fruit with vitamin C and similar queries where clearly this is an exploration and we are here to help based on the knowledge of the web to offer a solution and links to the destination content. So you spoke about the fact that yes, in Bing Webmaster Tool, we start to surface clicks not only from web links, but also in Copilot about referral traffic. What we see is that in Copilot, fundamentally, this is helping to find things. And this is really stellar. We see customers that are using now only Copilot as a default and fall back then to search because they found that Copilot is a more compelling story for them, better able to find things that they cannot maybe find in web so easily. But at the end is your example was about ordering a product, for instance. The people that are ordering a product fundamentally cannot satisfy their task only within Copilot. They will have to click the site to order something because this will be referring as an action. I want to order something, so I have to go to the site to order something. And we are still displaying, obviously, links for people who do not to find the source of information for all the information that is displayed in Copilot.
I guess the most logical question for an SEO, and I understand if you at any point if we cross the I can't answer this line, I totally understand. But the logical question for any SEO to ask at this point is how do links produced for people to click relate to the text produced for people to read?
Well, this is where this is an evolving story first, meaning that for a lot of customers, it's new and they're learning chat. It will translate as he has translated before when answer started to pop up within the search result page, where people were telling, hey, this is a no-click story. And then they found a way in the SEO community to adjust find ways to still not only get this kind of branding surfacing in the search result page, where you know that this kind of website is compelling for this queries, and you will visit the site and you will be attracted by the site moving forward, and still find ways to attract the clicks if you want clicks. Some sites may not want clicks. Some sites may just want to have a branding story. Some sites love clicks. And more than clicks is really about understanding the whole funnel. We see this Copilot story by being more relevant, translate to better clicks. I am engaged with the SEO community, and key experts in this community are telling me that the clicks from Copilot are stellar clicks. When what is coming from Copilot translate from a business standpoint far more than a clicks on the web results in average. Why? Because Copilot is smarter often than web to really deeply understand the query and deeply found tell content that will, it's a little bit harder to find in web. I don't say this is impossible to find in web. I think Copilot often facilitate the ability to translate content, translate queries to real quality results. So fundamentally, this is people want to see more Copilot clicks coming to their site, especially for site that translate to an action. Else on web, you see a lot of clicks, but it's clickback. People are visiting, clicking back, going in and out. And so, yeah, finally, they may find something. In Copilot, it's more a sticky click that translates to more benefit for the site.
Well, first of all, before anything else, thank you for the references to Copilot clicks in Webmaster Tools. On behalf of every webmaster in the world out there, thank you.
You're welcome.
You didn't have to do that. We're really glad you did. Please do more.
Yeah.
Especially, we don't get that data from Google.
Yeah, I think maybe we will enable it. I think it's on new technologies, really sometimes challenging to expose things because, okay, there is a lot of scrutiny about, okay, what this is. But yeah, we were very open to share this information.
So being the obsessive type that I am, that makes me want to look at various pages and see if there's ways I could write stuff that generates more clicks out of Copilot, because that, you know, that means that this content is somehow being incorporated and related to in Copilot. I'm not quite sure how that happens. So any tips?
Well, I think fundamentally this is for a lot of customers. This Copilot SG story is still in the early days of it. You are going to search engine every day, every hour, sometimes every minute, because you are all passionate about SEO and search engine marketing. So clearly you are in the field. Some people are not experiencing search engine as often as you. So for some people, they are still looking at blue links, and then they see this experience popping up and they say what this is, and they will start learning it. And again, we see this learning phase at Bing where and Copilot, where clearly they start to discover that and they start to stick to it and they start to love it and learn it. So still early days of that. Related to SEO, I think still whatever we have done for many, many years still matter. And I will really, and there is something else. So what matter is really, I'm really caring about that, as we care about that at Bing, satisfy your user. Don't try to satisfy search engine. If you optimize only for Google and Bing or Bing, often it won't be lasting, because at the end, the search engine will detect that, yeah, that's great for the Google clicks, but clearly customers don't like it so much. So this is where you have these big changes that are happening in your metrics, because, yeah, this is not so good for customers. If a site is very good for customers, obviously, search engines are welcoming this content and welcoming the clicks and everything related to this content, because we clearly care about satisfying customers. So think first about satisfying customers. And I think what's really truly matter in this new world is that you need to the population and the interest of the population are changing. We are not search engine that are kind of dinosaur search engine that were searching kind of legacy content thing. These days is all about the latest and the brightest of the internet, and things are evolving way faster than in the past. It's all about this frontier of new content that is surfacing every day. My teenagers really care about what's happening right now. Everything that is yesterday is okay, whatever about yesterday, don't care about that. So this is really about this frontier of new content that need to be in the search engine. And so this is where you have protocol as AnnexNode that is helping you to really sync the content with a search engine in terms of added, updated, and deleted information that is kind of transforming the way we were crawling so far and pushing the content to search engine to get the latest indexed in search engine. So this is, again, caring about customer, getting the latest content index, evolving, learning, doing A/B testing, all those things matter from the SEO standpoint this day.
I know that I'm this is shifting gears a little bit. Everything runs on data and stats and analysis. And I'm wondering if over the years we've moved from, I remember when we hand coded websites and then WordPress came along, and WYSIWYG websites were all thing, and now we're into the headless age. In Bing search, is there a type of website, Java driven, old static HTML driven, whatever? Is there a type of website that tends to perform better than another type of website, a platform style that tends to perform better? And is there would there be a reason for that?
Well, excellent question. And I will answer from Bing, but also for all search engine. This day, this is, yeah, this is, our quality is really data-driven at large scale, far more than in the past. 25 years ago, this was all about weighting. Okay, title field equals 0.7 and body equals 0.2 and this kind of basic things. These days, this is all AI, LLM things, and machine learning, and deep learning, and whatever things are happening, crazy data volume to really fully understand if a click satisfies the user or not, and what should be the content. And additionally, what's happening from my team, from a processing content team, this is clearly we went away from basic heuristic to a more machine learning stack that is really truly understanding the content, learning about the content, processing the content. And all of this, but this is from the customer standpoint or from a data processing standpoint, rely really on machine learning. What's machine learning overall? It's all about you enable a set of judgment to say, hey, this query is good, this link is good for this query, and so on. And something kind of for the content. I mean, for this document, we are able to process it correctly, not correctly. So this is based on labels, based on judgment, that is human judgment or machine judgment about oh, something is good, not good, perfect, excellent, bad, and so on, to judge if queries or content, if our processing stack or relevance stack is able to retrieve or process correctly something. Where this is related to your question is that if you do all this judgment are based on data that is extracted from queries and the internet. If you are part of the most common templates, most common things on the internet, clearly you will have a high representation percentage of such things in your data set. If you do a one-off thing that is completely one-off, a crazy JavaScript site with complete JavaScript craziness things, Ajax calls, 20 Ajax calls to render the content, it clearly won't be detected in the training set. It will be a one-off thing. It will be something. And so all the stack by design, the queries and the processing stack of all search engine maybe not be optimized for that. We are clearly optimized for the most common form that we see on the internet, because else it will tank our metrics. And I speak about Google, I speak about Bing, I speak about everything this day that rely on machine learning. So the most common things you do, it's a great way in the machine learning age to really be able to be retrieved, be able to do, to avoid having this SEO issues of content cannot be crawled and so on.
Okay, so honestly, you're saying, for the record, beyond making good quality content for the user, which is, you know, mission number one,
yeah.
Good old-fashioned technical SEO still matters.
Yeah, we offer, that this is Bing, Google, and others, really search engine guidelines. These search engine guidelines are kind of written once every 2-5 years. We revisit them. We don't want, obviously, to revisit that every week because it's not the right communication to the SEO community. So this is things that we want to be lasting. We want to be sticky because it kind of then can be translated into code and development things for the SEO community about what to focus. If you really look at that from a high level, these things really from Bing and Google align well. And it means that, yes, writing quality content, caring about customer, caring about content should be, we should be able to crawl it. We should be able to discover a heading pretty easily. We should be able to, it's better to have well-formatted HTML than some random things that is crazy. And yeah, this is this common things matter still for the business. And please look at that. We still see sites that are doing weird things, avoid weird things. In Bing Webmaster Tool, we have started to surface top insight per site that is helping to communicate, to have us communicating like a human reviewing, like me reviewing a site, what are the top issues we perceived. And you will see evolution of this top insight as we move forward to really be, at the end, like me reviewing a site to tell, hey, we perceive that this and this and this is not correct. A great site will have a site having nearly zero top insights if you visit Webmaster Tool.
Oh, Chris, Christina, you've been sitting on the sidelines. I know you got to have a million questions.
I'll try to keep it to just a couple. First, by the way, Fabrice, the Webmaster Tools, Bing Webmaster Tools is fantastic. So anybody who has not used it needs to use it. It gives you a lot of extra information about your site. And like you were just saying, some of the things that are common, that you'll identify as like, hey, that's not there. This should be better. So that's awesome. So you talk a lot about the technical side, which I love because I'm a technical SEO primarily. But you use a term that Google also uses. But I was wondering if you have some maybe more granular definitions, which is when you say make it good for users. What does Bing mean by making it good for users? Because everything that you guys say, like good for users, has a some sort of algorithmic representation in your machine learning. So are you allowed to say what that means?
Well, it's really about aligning in the search engine guidelines. There is kind of the SEO part and there is the kind of the ranking part. And there is also the things to avoid, the things that are related to safety, the things that are related to spam. And so I really encourage you to review the Bing Webmaster Guidelines because, again, we spend time to go in depth there. When I say in depth, this is really the top of the cream of what truly matter. Things really at the end is really matter to satisfy a customer clicks. If you go to dead links, yeah, not good for the user. So this is where having the content in sync between search engine and the web truly matter and so on, XNO and so on. Protocol to get this content in sync with the user. People forget that. It's not only to add content, it's also to manage the relation with the website, just to speak about that. And there is other things that is listed in the guidelines to cover this. So instead of listing kind of the top few things, I really encourage you to go to the guidelines because there is far more information there.
Great. I really appreciate that. Normally all we get from Google is good for users. So that's very helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And this is things that is also evolving over time. I mean, you have a set of content, that were not there many years ago. And so as the new content is there and the people are evolving, we are obviously evolving these guidelines, but as I said, not too often.
Thank you. Jim, do you have something next to ask?
Oh, I have a million questions. Absolutely. So you've said frequently that this is an evolution as much as it is a revolution. That means we're going to other steps. OpenAI's announcement on Monday suggested that there's going to be far more robust tools coming sometime later in the summer, early summertime. And I'm wondering how that's going to affect things at Bing, given your relationship with OpenAI.
Well, we invested in OpenAI and benefited of OpenAI talents and to deliver really a compelling experience, but we have also our own secret sauce to deliver value for the user. So this is, again, keep iteration of that, and we will continue to evolve there. And no, I cannot disclose a lot of things there. But again, think, for me, I perceived I'm using Copilot and this technology as in different form, clearly to searching online, sometimes to rephrase my text to find different ways of speaking to people, to inviting especially. And so this technology is a great technology, but it's also an evolution of technology. For me, for instance, when I rephrase, it's kind of a next generation speller. Yes, I was mistype a lot, and no, this is helping me to do better at spelling and grammatical correction and sentences things. So when it's a revolution, it's also an evolution, and the technology continues to evolve. Today, quantum computers is almost there. And so this means that, yeah, this is in few weeks, few months, few years, not decades, we will have access to this incredible capacity to compute things. And this will be also a new game changer. So there is continuous evolution of technology. And existing technology is great. There is a new technology coming tomorrow. We will be ready for it. And be ready for it from the SEO community is, again, taking care of this standard, taking care of this basic foundation blocks, understanding what I say related to machine learning, AI, don't do craziness things, focus on the user. All these things matter today, matter yesterday, will still matter tomorrow.
So Fabrice, along that lines, a quick question. So Google talks a lot about schema. How important is schema in your ecosystem?
Short answer, everything that you can do. So first, everything that is on schema.org, we are collaborating with Google on this. Schema.org is kind of co-join. Everything is what is on schema.org and is trusted. Is looking at that, we look at that, we look at that, we use that. Yes, no, depends on if we detect that sites do a mistake or if this is adding value for the experience to the user. So first thing is to answer, yes, most common schema are supported, and we look at the vocabulary and things like this to really truly deliver, again, what we believe is compelling experience. One thing that is key in this area is that, and it's also an evolution of technology, this is in the past, this is kind of uncrafted HTML processing. And these days is all about somehow you throw to the machine and the machine is able to really deeply understand the pages because the machine is smarter. That said, you can help the machine to be smarter. So this is where if you specify this information in the pages, it can help in the training data to extract this information and to judge and to say, oh, yeah, yeah, this is the publication date, this is the offer, this is whatever this is. But it can help fundamentally with machine learning and the retrieval of information, or just people that are investigating if the search engine is right or not, the kind of developer to see if whatever is provided is correct or not correct and adjust. So when the machine LLM and so on is able to do magic this day, the schema information is still very useful to provide this hint, this data to the system. But it's just used as a hint. It's not definitive.
Okay. Schema is like, you know, I've been telling all of my clients that schema is mandatory, very important. If you can describe it in the schema, describe it. Is there other structured data languages that are helpful? This is I have no idea. I don't know the answer to this question, so I hesitate to ask it to sound like an idiot. But is there anything else out there that is useful that we can feed information to Bing with?
Take control of your SEO game with real-time indexing. Everybody, please adopt AndexNow. This is not about, hey, I put the schema thing. This is, you need to have better online visibility. It's not only about having a website. It's about having your latest content be found in the search engine. This is fundamental. This is, you need to control the crawler. You need to be in sync with the engine. You publish something, this stuff need to be minutes in the search engine. You want to be controlled in the SEO community. People are telling me, I do A-B testing, but they don't even know if the crawler has picked up the content and if this is really indexed. How can you do A-B testing if you don't know if your thing's in the crawler? You change something. And then you see, hey, look at that. People are sending beautiful SEO graph and, oh, this is the curve. And I look at the data and I kind of audit also a little bit Google to see what they're doing. And I see that whatever you do, the content is not reflected yet in the index. So it's kind of, this is somewhat a joke in the SEO community, and especially from my standpoint and Google standpoint, to say, hey, we changed something and abracadabra, look at this, the curve is moving up. It was taking search engine months, years to reflect on large sites their content update. We have to stop this. We offer you ability to get the content in sync in terms of added, updated information in the index. So schema, you change the schema, the price is changing. Having a price that is 50 Canadian dollar versus 49 Canadian dollar really matter for some customer. You need, it's not about the schema is there. This is the latest information is there. Please adopt AndexNow. And the whole industry is adopting AndexNow. People will move. We will make some major announcement that I cannot disclose over the following month. But please, please move.
IndexNow. Sorry, Christine. I'm just going to say IndexNow is one of those tools that the search engines have given to the SEO community that will instantly feed data to the search engines. Is probably one of the least used Insto tools that are out there.
When this is least used, I can disclose that we receive more than 3 billion URL per day. This is adopted by 60 million websites already. So
that's
this
wonderful.
Is,
that's cool.
Yeah, Wix, a lot of content management systems are supporting this. Duda and others are supporting this natively by default. So this is, you have different push. I don't want, you are SEO expert. Lot of people are not and will never be. I mean, you have a various set of population that don't care about SEO and really they don't have to care. This is, you manage a family website, you just go to this beautiful things, you can edit online. This is WYSIWYG, you don't know what you are doing, but you just put an image of your family, you press submit, publish, that's done. Obviously, you don't have to care about SEO. This is the content management system. The kind of ecosystem is handling SEO for you automatically. And this is where we are integrating with a lot of content management system to enable this backbone of the internet being AndexNow compatible and support AndexNow. And then you have all these top sites that are on proprietary content management system. This is the eBay. This is all these websites that today have already adopting AndexNow to get the content in sync with the search engines.
So you'll be very proud, Fabrice. Yesterday, I had a client who I told them they needed to put that on right away. So
thank you.
You're welcome. So a question, 40% of the web is run by WordPress sites. Is there a best implementation for people that are using WordPress? for Index
True.
now?
So for WordPress, we are collaborating with WordPress to have it as part of WordPress core. Like this, this will be there by default. Until this is there, there is a lot of SEO plugins that support that you can install. There is the free NXNow plugins from Bing.
Oh,
You just need to
that's a good
install
one.
it. This is open source. It takes 5 minutes to install, and then you have your latest added, updated, deleted information that support that are funnel to Bing and other search engines supporting NXNow. And NXNow is not a one thing; it's all search engine data is shared between all search engine. But you have also Yoast. You have also SEO Press, Olli1 SEO, RankMath that are plugins that are supporting NXNow. And you can go to bing.com/NXNow where you can find all these websites and content management system that are supporting NXNow. Yahoo is supporting NXNow. Search Engine Land is supporting NXNow, Search Engine Journal, and so on. Many website and content management system are already supporting NXNow. So you may be already supporting NXNow on your website, and you just have to go to Bing Webmaster Tool slash NXNow to see if your website is already publishing the data to NXNow. Else, this is again very easy to adopt.
Oh,
And
great. And
it's good for Bing. This is open protocol. It's good for Bing. It's Bing for the whole industry. Google is still monitoring. At some point, I hope they will move and adopt NXNow.
great. And I just realized though, we did not give a brief explanation of what Index Now is in detail. Could you give that to us?
Yeah,
Because
so
we know what it is, but I know a lot of people listening probably are like, Index what?
yeah. And NXNow, this is really about take control, as I say, of your SEO game with real-time indexing. So NXNow is an easy open source protocol to enable the website, the content management system, to notify the search engine that something is changing, that this is added, updated, or deleted URL. So this is you control the crawler, and the crawler is basically you order Bing bot and other search engine bot to come to visit the site to detect, to capture the latest content on your site. Very easy. We are not so smart at crawling, clearly. We don't know what's happened on your head when you will press the publish button. And as an SEO, you want to go to bed knowing that your latest content has been reflected in the search engine and so NXNow.
Great, that's perfect. So now everyone will have a better understanding. Now I know Google's been testing it. Is there any idea that when they might bring it out of testing?
Well, I cannot speak about on behalf of Google, but yes, as we are improving in terms of adoption, clearly we are clearly having stellar, great, fresh results on a lot of sites already. I spoke about adoption and this huge volume of data that is coming our way. And at the end, at some point, I don't say that you are forced to adopt, but the value proposition is there not only to because there is value for the customer. They don't get dead links. They don't get they get the latest content index, latest price, and so on. Very useful information for shopping scenario, for instance. And so there is a real value. And the additional value that is very important is lowering good for the environment. I mean, it's lowering CO2. A traditional crawler can be slow and resource sensitive. And so this is here, this is clearly we are able to model if the NXNow signal is great quality, and then we will lower, we are already, and we will continue to lower crawl footprint on website, saving a lot of money to
Very
everybody.
nice. Yeah, I've always loved Index Now since I first heard about it, so
Great.
yes.
I got a weird question that might seem like it's a little bit out of left field. Bing has been gaining market share really rapidly this year. Has that changed in from the data that you're seeing? Has Bing's gain in market share changed webmasters' relationships with Bing? Are they paying more attention to it?
True. That's true that we see an increase of user looking at Bing Webmaster Tool. This is clear because it's really and we see it also in NXNow adoption, as I said. So clearly, the fact that we get more market share and more visibility translate to interest, to review or insight. Sometimes we are having specific big issues, or sometimes Bing Webmaster Tool is there also to tell you. The issues that we surface are common for the whole industry. And so this is mean that the issues that we surface may repo also at Google and other search engines. So this is where I encourage you to go to Big Webmaster Tool to review the top insights and also things that is the tools that we have that are unique in the industry. We have a kind of Site Explorer that is kind of a listing of URL index at Bing. And you don't see this elsewhere. And so there is unique value of going to Big Webmaster Tool. And so, yes, we see an increase of usage of Big Webmaster Tool.
Okay, now here's the real left field part of the question, okay? You get to see so much data on how webmasters are using webmaster tools. How to phrase this? Is there anything that you learn about webmasters and the evolution of websites from their usage of webmaster tools that you'd be able to share with the audience?
Yeah, the internet is evolving. You have, and it's always evolving and maybe evolving faster than in the past. You spoke about WordPress. And WordPress was 30% market share, and these days it says 40 equal more percent market share in terms of unique sites. If we look at per URL, obviously you have huge website, Amazon, eBay, Facebook, and so on, that are really kind of dominating in terms of number of URL. But in terms of content management system, first we see maybe I don't say less of them, but there is some big ones that are kind of dominating over time the whole landscape, the whole ecosystem. It takes time, as we all know, to move from one content management system to another one. But we see some content management systems that are clearly moving. The other thing is that overall, obviously, it says the industry is moving. Less basic SEO mistakes are done. The internet these days is less built on Notepad than years ago. And so we see this content management system by default and the developer knowledge, web UX developer knowledge overall, that have some knowledge of SEO and they avoid doing the big mistakes that we saw in the past. They still do big mistakes, but less than in the past. So the overall SEO stack is better. Additionally, as I explained, the technology that we have is able to really mitigate a lot of issues that webmasters are still doing. So this is this mix of ideally you need, when you think a website, if you have to start from scratch, pick a content management system that is SEO compatible. Because then you don't have to focus on a lot of core SEO issues that will surface with some of the tools that are really, really, let's say old, really not working. And I obviously, I will not list them.
Mm-hmm. That's very good advice.
Okay. I'm going to guess, and I think Christine should get her fair guess too. I'm going to guess really screwed up redirects. Christine, what do you think the most common webmaster error that that webmaster tools gets to sort of report? I'm going to say screwy redirects.
Oh, that webmaster tools reports, that's a hard one. Redirects is a big one that I see. 404s and 500 errors I see, and then invalid HTML in the header, but that's not something that
you know, if anybody knows, we got the expert in the house. What's the biggest mistake that you see that webmasters are making on a common basis?
I think, again, we see it's, so first on redirects, I will speak about redirects. You can do your life on redirects. People do so many mistakes on redirects. We see web page having a meta refresh one way and kind of a JavaScript redirection the other way, another URL. So depending on the, if the JavaScript is fast, you will see people going to URL B. If the meta refresh is faster, based on second in the meta refresh, you will go to URL C.
Okay.
But we see craziness things. There is also a lot of mistakes related, especially related to redirects, related to geolocation. I mean, depending on your profile settings, so customers are going another way. And often it's not really search engine broken, it's also customer broken, where you go to a region, same if you are, let's say, Japanese, you will see some language in the UX that you do not understand. So there is so much variety in the way people are handling profile, IP location thing. And so search engines are coming with their own IPs. And so this is a little bit extremely challenging, and you can spend your life on trying to fix the redirect. You have cookies in play, you have cross-domain redirects, you have all kinds of things on redirects. I don't say that we have dedicated people on redirects, but almost we have dedicated people on redirects because it's so challenging to handle. And at the end, it's really each website is really has its own issues. This is where, again, in Big Webmaster Tool, we have started to really focus on surfacing what are the top insights for your site, where we model the issues based on really what we perceive as customer facing issues, not about volume of URL. Example, you may have a lot of robot disallow URL on your site. Okay, but truly, does it impact the customer? Do we see that? Do we believe that customers are impacted by this? Maybe not. So it's maybe okay to have robot disallow URL, especially if this is redirection or things, signing pages or things that are totally kind of useless from a search engine standpoint. So we try, and we will continue to try to do our best to surface the top insights per site that are really tailored toward each site. Why? Because it's preventing me to not have my mailbox flooded by questions from the SEO community and others, because this is doing my work. This is my way of answering people to say, hey, if I look at your sites, I will more or less find the same issues that the one listed on Big Webmaster Tool.
Christine?
I'm just trying to take it all in. I was wondering, I wonder how Fabrice would think about the site yesterday. I had to report 11,000 redirect loops.
Oh, ouch. And so actually, okay, so AI is eating huge amounts of energy just to do stuff. And a concern that that SEOs have always had, and it seems so quaint now, is crawler budget. Like, I really don't want to cost Bing a whole bunch of money to crawl my website. Like, they mightn't crawl it. But you guys are willing to spend like a king's ransom of energy on AI. So how important is things like crawler budget to Bing?
Again, this is, as I say, fundamental that your site is in sync with search engine this day, but this is Bing and others. Mm-hmm. So having the latest content index, what does it mean? And latest update. It means, think about a blog site. Think about the number of calls search engine are doing this day. That's crazy. Why? And this is trigger that we have to render the content over and over and over. Often, same if the content didn't change and we crawl. In general, a blog website is almost static. I mean, except if you have comments on your blogs and things like this, but most do not. So this means that almost we should crawl the content only once in the lifetime of the content. We don't have to revisit the content to see if the content is changing. In the world of AI, I can assure you that AI is not the solution for crawling. Yes, it helped me to do crawl optimization and to maximize crawl efficiency on each and every site. But nothing is better than you tell me what changed on the site. This is moving our crawl efficiency to the roof, to 99 and above percent, because clearly we see that you have a knowledge, the content management system, about what changed on the sites, and tell us what changed on the sites. I want also to highlight that when added and deleted URL is kind of an easy signal to set up, often for update, it's more tricky. Think about YouTube. There are videos on YouTube and view counts. Should you notify us for every view count? Nope, you should not. Except when view count is from 1 to 10, let's say, and then when it costs 20, and then when it costs 50, because else you will have billions of and billions of URL coming to IndexNow every day. So you should, I publish an article on Search Engine Journal that outlines some best practices about when to notify Search Engine when the content is changing. It's important to be in sync, and not in sync of each and every change. Meaningful updates are welcome. So again, they're almost impossible to model with very high quality with AI. AI is not the solution, and XNow is the solution.
And we've gone a full hour. Fabrice, this has been I hate this part of the show because I'm having so much fun in this conversation, but we've gone a full hour. We're out of time.
Welcome back.
I hope so, because this has been one of the most fun, challenging, and interesting interviews we've done in a very long time. So thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Fabrice.
Thank you.
Oh my God, Christine, wasn't that like every once in a while you get to step out and seriously like hit the track and trot your brain around, eh? That was so much fun.
It was so much fun. It was really, really interesting. I think I learned a lot from Fabrice. Yeah, I got a lot of good details out of that. If you're an experienced SEO and you listen to Fabrice talk today, you'll see what I mean.
Okay.
Jim, I don't know what we do about this because we run out of time. But AI answers, we're going to talk about that next week.
We have to. I'm sorry. We have another show That's coming
fine.
Up in the studio
we'll
directly
let people know.
After, and maybe we'll put something up on our blogs or something. I don't know, but. I got to take us to the exit. I really wish I didn't have to.
I know. Fabrice is so great. We're like, we totally forgot about that part. Then we'll do it next week.
Okay. So on behalf of Christine Jackinger, this is from Sites Without Walls. This is Jim Hedger from DeJoyous Media. And both of us really want to thank Fabrice Canal from Microsoft Bing for joining us. Thanks so much to our sponsor, Audience Key. And thank you so much to our producers, Ricky and Brasco, and you know, of course, Darren and Brandy out in the office. Friends, you've been listening to Webcology, recorded live to podcast on the 16th of May, 2024 at WMR.fm. Be kind to each other. Be good. Be great webmasters. Rank well. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody. And use Index now.
Thank you.